Portage Health Foundation is proud to introduce you to Superior Educator Jessica Hendrickson of Stanton Township Public Schools. Jessica is the glue that keeps their school together. Her cheerful energy can be felt through emails and heard over phone and in person. She is quick to respond to questions or concerns from all parents. She is very welcoming and especially to new students who benefit from seeing her friendly face. If you know an amazing educator like Jessica, go to superioreducators.org and nominate them to be recognized as the next Superior Educator.
Good Sunday morning and welcome to Copper Country Today, segment one. I'm Todd Van Dyke. We're brought to you by the Portage Health Foundation. You can learn more about them and their mission at phfgive.org. If you'd like to be really impressed and also feel really inadequate over the next few days, head to Michigan Tech because they have a massive computer showcase coming up next week. It's going to run Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. You'll be, on one hand, amazed at the things that are being done with computers at Michigan Tech, and you may feel a little intimidated by it. So we brought two people in who know more about it than I do to explain it. Dennis Livesey is here. He's the dean of the College of Computing at Michigan Tech. And Tim Havens is here. He has so many hats. You are what, Tim? The director of the Institute of Computing and Cyber Systems. You are the director of the Great Lakes Research Institute. And you are the William and Gloria Jackson Professor in Computer Science at Michigan Tech, which means you're obviously skipping something to be here, right?
Yes. I'm gladly skipping a meeting.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we got you out of that. And Dennis, welcome to the program as well.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
It's good to have you both here. I will confess that a couple of years ago, I went to a similar event that they had set up at Michigan Tech, a showcase of work that was being done by students, and particularly, I think it was graduate students. I don't consider myself a stupid person. I was 99.5th percentile in the ACT in 1973. It was a while ago. I felt like a kindergartner in a trigonometry class walking through there and seeing the work that was being done. And this was by students at Michigan Tech, 3D animation, virtual reality, things of that nature. I've got to say, what's being done there is really, really impressive. You got a lot of bright kids.
Yes, we do. Absolutely. Well, and you know, one of the things that is interesting about computing is that it's not only a language in that students are learning to program in, you know, the conventional programming languages, but really any science is a language that is continually evolving as people learn more about things, computing, whether it's biology or genetics, whatever it happens to be. And so keeping up with that language and continually learning that language is important. And so this is, you know, you're coming into it without having spoken that language for a long time. And, you know, so that's part of what we do at Michigan Tech is, you know, get these students speaking the language, not only in programming, but also in communication and being able to talk about their ideas too.
The College of Computing, obviously there have been computing classes at Michigan Tech for a long, long time. There's a long history there. The specific College of Computing, Dennis, is still relatively new. How has it gone? How has it developed? And is it doing what you wanted it to?
Yeah, so computing has been around at Michigan Tech for, like you said, for a really long time. We had our first computer science degree awarded in 1974. So it's been around for a long time. College of Computing was founded a little less than 3 years ago. And so the creation of the College of Computing, which is Michigan's first and only College of Computing, really wasn't the start of computing, but it was an inflection point. We've been growing the programs in computing quite significantly prior to that, and that pace of growth is just accelerating. It's a recognition by the university that every discipline is becoming a computing discipline. So we have sort of two tasks. There's two reasons for having the college in my mind. One is to grow the disciplines of computing, computer science, software engineering, data science, health informatics, and others. But the other is to help all the other disciplines, mechanical engineering, chemistry, genetics, think through the disruption that's happening in their industries as computing and access to data takes off. So I'm trained, you know, I actually have never had a computer science course in my life. I'm trained as a chemist, and I probably shouldn't say that, but I will. Because it's true. And in my discipline, the biomedical space, textbooks have been rewritten over the last decade and a half. because of our access to data and our ability to extract knowledge from it using computing. And that's happening now in marketing. It's happening in criminal justice. It's happening in the humanities. It's, you know, every digital transformation, digital disruption, whatever you want to call it, is happening in every discipline. And so we're trying to grow the discipline of computing, the disciplines of computing, as well as help these other disciplines navigate what's happening in their space.
Because basically anybody who graduates with a degree in anything anymore has to understand computing, and not just how to push the button and turn it on, but, you know, I look at what I do, networking here in the building, networking at my home. I'm networked at my home. My whole life is on this little laptop that you see in front of me here. It's used for audio production. It's used for music composition. It's used for all of the things that I do in my life. At this point, I have to have an understanding of that, even though I'm old and ancient, and I was at Central Michigan University when you at Michigan Tech gave out that first degree. And I remember the computer that we had at Central. It was in the basement of Anspaugh Hall. It took up the better part of a large room, and you could book time on it, and you could play a little game like Pong. They had a little game on it, and this really amused us. We thought it was incredible at the time. So everybody at this point now has to have some basic knowledge of computing, and actually in many cases a fairly extended knowledge. Where, Tim, does this leave people? I talk to people who say, oh, I can't deal with computing. I don't understand computing. I can't comprehend it. Where does it leave somebody who is helpless in this understanding? Or does that person really exist?
Well, I don't think that person needs to feel helpless. We even have programs at Michigan Tech, for example, the program led by Chuck Wallace, in bringing those up to speed that were born at times when they spent the greater part of their lives, you know, without computing existing, even.
I learned how to do math on an abacus in school. You know, it was one of the things they introduced us to. It was a tool.
Yeah, it wasn't new math then, right?
No,
Yeah, and so the digital, we call this digital literacy, and so we have programs where we're leading senior citizens through classes in how to use computing, and it can open up their world. You know, they're able to access the information that is just ubiquitous everywhere on Google, communicate with their loved ones over video chat or Zoom. And it's so nobody needs to feel helpless. You know, the computers have come a long ways. They're made at this point to be used by everybody, and computing is everywhere. So just if you just look out there, you can probably find the help that you need.
My mom is 90. My dad is 93. They video chat with my sister and her daughter and the grandkids in Chicago and that kind of thing. They're certainly not computer literate, but they are at least computer capable of being able to do these general things.
And so that program that Tim was referring to is called BASIC. We actually have another program in the College of Computing called Copper Country Coders, also run by Chuck Wallace. That teaches programming to K-12 kids. So my son is 11. He's actively involved, and it's a great program. It's free. But even that extending digital literacy, you know, there's a comfort of sitting down in front of your tablet, of your phone, of your laptop. But beyond that, computing is behind the scenes for everything, right? So what underpins the supply chain, what underpins the banking system, what underpins our entertainment, computing is happening whether we're comfortable with it or not. And to have some understanding of how that works, to have some sort of high-level understanding of the data and digital trail that you're producing is probably a really important skill at this point. And so as we think about cybersecurity, we think about what's happening in marketing, as you know, ads get targeted to me. As I know when my wife has been searching for something on Google, because all the ads start popping up, right? Having some sense of how that works is appropriate in this time of age.
Yeah, and it's a bit nerve-wracking sometimes when you think about how dependent we are on these things. My internet goes down at home, and I got nothing to do. I can't watch my television. I can't do anything because my internet has gone out, and I run to my phone, and I turn on my hotspot, and oh, good, I can sign on again. It's really become a critical crutch, I guess, in our lives now.
I wouldn't call it a crutch. I'd call it an enabler. You know, it's enabling a civilization that couldn't exist without computing. The things that we're able to do today as a civilization and the communications that we can have, you know, with people around the world, you know, I see it leading to a more world view rather than, you know, if you think about before computers, people had to write letters. And so the speed of communication at which people can talk to each other, you know, everywhere in the world is nearly instantaneous. And so I believe that's going to help us come together as a world community.
And I'll push back a little bit because I love that utopian view and I agree with it. On the other hand, we thought the same thing was going to happen with the democratization of the news media when you know, social media was coming out in the early days of the internet. And clearly what's happened is there's been a deeper polarization as people sort of dive into their own little communities and don't see what's going on outside those communities. So we have to really think through the ethical implications of what we're doing as well and think through how these technologies can play out in their best sense, but also in their worst.
Because on one hand, we know far more about what's happening in Ukraine today than we knew about what was happening in Poland in 1938 and 1939 because we have computers and that type of communication. On the other hand, we know a lot of things about it that aren't in fact true because there are already deep fakes and fake news going on. I read the other day that here was a story about somebody and their reaction to something that had happened over there, and oh no, it was actually a reaction to something that had happened that they were involved in months ago, and somebody just falsely tagged the videos. So you're right on both counts. It's a tool and it can be used for good. It can be used for bad. So I'm talking with Dennis Livesey, the Dean of the College of Computing at Michigan Tech, and Tim Havens, who wears more hats than we have time to recap over there. He's a busy, busy guy. But you have put together a computer showcase, which as we air this on Sunday morning, will be taking place tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday, Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. You've got a whole bunch of things being done, speakers, presentations, seminars, things like that. Why did you decide to put this together, Dennis?
Yeah, so Tim and I have been talking about this for some time, and we really wanted to celebrate computing within the College of Computing, but more importantly, across campus, back to that earlier discussion, how every discipline's becoming a computing discipline. We wanted to bring folks together to make connections that they might not have had an opportunity to make before that. And as the showcase has evolved, it's really become an opportunity for us to tell our story on campus, but also to the community, and to tell the story of what's happening in computing up to this point, as well as what's going to happen in computing at campus over the next decade or so. The schedule was all planned around that. We've really tried not to be overly academic in the showcase, so we have a lot of industry partners coming in to talk. So we have two keynote speakers. One is one of the most distinguished computer science alums that we have, and she's in charge of device and content security for a small company you might have heard of called Netflix. So really important position, and she's had a lot of other jobs. So she's going to come in and talk about security and her experiences doing a lot of things, including the Human Genome Project, but now at Netflix. Then we have another speaker who is sort of a rock star in my world of the biomedical sciences. His name is Phil Bourne. He was, I sort of call him the data science czar, or the inaugural data science czar for NIH, and led one of the earliest big data efforts that NIH ever supported, which was called the Protein Data Bank, which he's still involved with. And now he's the founding dean of data science at University of Virginia, UVA. So, you know, that just those two talks, which will both be on Tuesday afternoon, sort of highlight the two sides that we're trying to have. Real quickly, I will say that on the opening night, we are trying to tell this story of the past, present, and future. And back in January, we actually had several articles that we published in series that told the story of computing past at Michigan Tech, told the story of computing present at Michigan Tech, and those were sort of written in the third person. And then my voice was a third article around the future of computing. And that opening night of the showcase, we're going to continue that idea with a panel discussion about the past, present, and future of computing at Michigan Tech.
Yeah, and obviously the future, it's got to be hard to predict. I was thinking about that the other day because I was thinking, I've got my laptop here that I bought a year ago. And frankly, the only reason I bought it was because my previous laptop, I was using it at the Copper Dog 150, and a gust of wind hit it and it fell on its head. And so I had to replace it. But there hasn't been a lot of difference. Speed is different. This computer over here is a Vista machine. It goes back a ways. It can do pretty much everything this new one can do. The new one does it faster. We haven't had, at least from the consumer standpoint, a lot of real big breakthroughs in computers that I'm aware of over the last few years. What is going to be the next big thing that we'll see at my level?
So, your laptop is sort of has the same look and feel and can do the same sort of things. But we're carrying around, I'm holding up my iPhone here, a lot more computing power than we ever had access before.
Well, there's a heck of a lot more guts in this than my first Commodore 64 computer.
Absolutely.
In my phone.
And we now have, my garage door opener has Wi-Fi and can be synced up into an IoT network. Cars are, the supply chain for cars going forward is going to be software, right? You think about Ford and GM as tech companies that happen to make cars. So computing is becoming much more ubiquitous and much more beyond just what we traditionally think of as the computer. And I think that's where a lot of the revolution is happening. And Tim is a world's expert in building some of these complex systems that allow you to harness that.
Yeah, last week on the show, we talked about smoke detectors, the kind that you can wire in that sync with Google and will hit an app on your phone if there's a problem. So where is my house going to be 10 years from now here, Tim Havens?
Well, I really believe that your house is going to mimic the science fiction that you've read in the past, where it's going to react to you and it's going to predict what you need and even know what you need perhaps before you do.
House is going to start nagging me to mop the kitchen floor?
Well, no, because then you wouldn't use it. So I think that is one of the brilliance of designers of computing is that they're creating computers that people want to use because they want to sell computers. So a house that nags you, they wouldn't sell. So it's going to be a house that reacts to you in a way that's pleasing and yet useful. And, an example of that is the refrigerators that are Internet of Things devices now that tell you when you need more eggs, when you need more milk, and in fact can even order from Amazon and have them to your door before you even realize that you needed them.
Or Nest, it's like we'll update the thermostat on your house as it learns when you're there, when you're not there, things along that. Do you like to be cold at night when you're sleeping, or do you like it a little warmer, things like that?
Yeah, you can hold up your phone and look and see who's ringing your doorbell when you're 1,000 miles away.
Absolutely.
Things of that nature. Does everybody want this? Or is there a point at which technology's capability outstrips our desire to use it?
I think that everybody's different, obviously, and so there will certainly be people that will choose not to use the latest gadgets, but there's going to be a lot of revolutions that are going to be important for moving forward of civilization. At this point, it's been shown that cognitively we're able to accomplish more in the day because we have the digital crutches, if you will, and I like to refer them as enablers, of helping us to remember things that we wouldn't have been able to remember in the past. These calendars that allow us to have, 10, 15-minute meetings all back-to-back and can take...
I had one warning me of your arrival through the morning.
Yeah, and we're working on technology that can actually take notes on those meetings while you're having those meetings so you don't have to take notes yourself, can put the notes together, make connections, and then reveal to you things that you should be thinking about for the next day.
So what kind of projects are underway now at Michigan Tech, either through faculty and people doing research or students and grad students doing research to try to push this all forward?
There is a ton of research that is going on at the Institute of Computing and Cyber Systems at Michigan Tech. We're doing research in ways for people to interface with computers that may not be able to interface in the same way that we're able to. For example, Dr. Keith Vertinen is working on interfaces for people that are visually impaired to text, say, with their phone. They can't see that tiny little keyboard. How do you How do you use that if you can't see
Braille doesn't pop up on that little keyboard.
They have ways that that can happen, but he's also working on the interface of AI and prediction in how they can, you can just think about where the locations of the keyboard is and then type it, say, on the desk or just on a tablet or whatever it happens to be. We have research that's going on in new computer systems architectures, so to make computers faster and operate in new ways. For example, with AI, you know, computers now have chips in them that are able to do AI math at a much faster rate, so that, you know, the ad is coming to you even faster and is going to be something even more topical for you. We have research going on in the way that humans use computers cognitively. So what is the effect of when we use a computer on how we learn and how we can learn any science, say it's whether it's biology or genetics or mechanical engineering. So if you go to our website, mtu.edu/ICC, there's a lot of information about our researchers there that's going on. And we're even starting to think about, you know, In the two hats that I wear in research in the Great Lakes Research Center and the ICC, we've started to think about how we can combine together the, you know, our understanding of the freshwater resources that we live on and are so vital, you know, to our continuing existence, and computing and how that can help us monitor this resource, keep it clean, understand more about what's happening out there in the middle of Lake Superior in the middle of winter when it's very difficult to put sensors out on the ice. And so there's interfaces that are happening in science that computing has enabled that is showing us the world in ways that we've never seen before.
Tim Havens and Dennis Livesey from the computing programs at Michigan Tech. Again, the computer showcase is Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Now, Dennis, how much of this is for university people, and how much of this is really kind of open to the public and people who are curious about what's happening at Tech?
Yeah, so everything is open to the public. Some of it would be a bit more academic than others, but I think for the public, there's a few things that they might really be interested in. The first and foremost was that first night when I talked about the past, present, and future panel discussion. And then also on that first night, we're going to induct our first set of honorees into the College of Computing Honor Academy. And we'll be inducting Dave House, who worked at Intel and led the Pentium chip line for a long time. And he's been a wonderful benefactor to Michigan Tech and one of our most distinguished alums. And then we'll be admitting Dr. Linda Ott, who has been a faculty member in computer science for over 40 years. And so we'll have that, and it'd be interesting to hear a little bit about what they have done. On Tuesday, the two keynotes, I think, will be really important and really accessible, and people would be interested in them. And then on Wednesday morning, there is a Women in IT panel discussion as well that will be quite interesting. And then scattered throughout the days, in between times, there'll be research talks, there'll be poster sessions, and most of the, there'll be talks from industry professionals, talks from representatives from the government labs and some of the funding agencies, and most of the events will be simultaneously in person and accessible via Zoom. And you can access all of that from our website. It's a really complicated URL that I will butcher, but you have it on the website.
Yeah, we have put it on our QNRReport.com community calendar. So you can go to the community calendar, click on the link, and it'll take you there because the website, like you say, it's rather long. You can read it if you want.
I won't read it, but if you just Google Computing MTU Showcase, it should be the first hit.
Is there any charge for people to take part in this?
It's free.
Absolutely free.
Absolutely
and
free.
And there will be knowledge that perhaps even someone such as myself would take away and be able to apply to my computing use?
Absolutely. Yep.
So you can go, you can check the schedule. Again, it is tomorrow, Tuesday, and Wednesday as we air this program on Sunday morning. If you're listening to the podcast, you'll have to adjust for that a little bit. And that's one of the things that has... You know, computers have put into my world as a broadcaster. You never, you know, when I started in this business and we had reel-to-reel tape recorders, the concept that I could create a program and put it someplace that anybody in the world could listen to it anytime they wanted to, I'd have told you were nuts.
Right.
But here we are, and the next 25 or 30 years or more should be equally exciting, I would guess. So the things that are being done in computers at Michigan Tech are just absolutely incredible. Check out this computer showcase that's coming on. Take advantage of the opportunities that are there. And most of all, don't be intimidated, because even if you're not computer literate, as these gentlemen have said, there are ways that we can get you up to speed, right?
Absolutely.
So Dennis Livesey, the Dean of the College of Computing at Michigan Tech, and Tim Havens from the Institute of Computing and Cyber Systems and the Great Lakes Research Center, thank you for coming in. Good luck with the whole adventure you've got planned next week.
Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.
And Copper Country Today will continue in a moment.